Welcome to the Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff White from virginiasports.com. And joining me today for his annual fall appearance is University of Virginia's head baseball coach, Brian O'Connor. Brian, welcome back.
Thanks, Jeff. Doing? It's great to be back.
You know, we've recorded these interviews in a number of locations here, and we finally made it to John Paul Jones Arena. This is a little bit nicer than my U-Haul office, isn't it?
Well, it sure is. This is definitely an upgraded version. You got the well-lit V-Saber behind us here, and you got a nice setup. So, yeah, this is great. Well-deserved, Jeff.
So the Major League Baseball playoffs are underway. Are you someone who do you stay up and watch those every night, or is it tough to do that with the demands of your day job?
Well, I'm able to watch bits and pieces. Certainly, I never sit down and watch a full game. And quite frankly, most nights I'm in bed before the games are over. But I do get a chance to see a little bit. I caught last night's game a little bit. Certainly, caught a little bit of the Cubs game the night before. So, you know, I love playoff baseball. It just seems like the stadiums are full. There, it just means so much. The wild card games are so interesting that you hear it.
Oh, yeah.
You
play one game in baseball is crazy.
Yeah, you play the entire season, and then it comes down to one game. I understand why it's got to be that way, and that makes it that much more dramatic that it's one game. So excited. I'm excited to see Brandon Guyer getting a chance to play in the playoffs and Chris Taylor, two guys that are able to play in the playoffs that are former players, so happy for them.
So did you, growing up in Council Bluffs, did you have a favorite team?
I did, yeah. We followed the Kansas City Royals. Kansas City was just a couple hours south of us, and so that was our team. We'd get a chance to go down there for some games and things. So they had some great teams during those times, you know, George Brett and all those great players that they had.
So you are heading into your 16th season. Time flies, doesn't it?
Boy, it sure does. When you take your oldest daughter off to college when we got here when she was 2 years old and you were holding her hand walking around, and things have certainly changed.
So fall practice is underway for your team. What do you look for? We've talked before about how in the competitive aspect of the fall, the scrimmages you play, the Orange and Blue World Series, there's not always a direct correlation between how a guy performs in the fall and how he will do in the spring, but it's obviously enormously important and valuable to you. What are you hoping to achieve in the fall, and what do you look for from the guys individually?
Well, I think, Jeff, first of all, the fact that our sport is a spring sport makes the fall really important in that your whole team's here and you're molding that team throughout the whole year versus a team that's maybe a fall sport and then the spring is kind of training time where part of those players won't be with the team the following year. So, first and foremost with the fall, what we do is, we like to set the expectation, the standard of, how our players should handle themselves on the field, how they should work, what we're looking to try to do consistently to be successful as it pushes into the spring. So that would be first and foremost. And then secondly, you want to get a chance to see how the veteran players, how they've developed over the summer and where they're at compared to the year before. And then the rookie players, how they're, what are they like? You get brief snapshots of them in the recruiting process, but you don't get a chance to see them every day. So when we're practicing practically every day this fall, we get a chance to see what are they like on an everyday basis. Now, I will tell you, there's also always a small handful of players that are limited or you shut them down based on what they had done the previous season and throughout the fall. Obviously, there's some pitchers that are in that category that, you shut them down and wait to get them back up for the spring.
You're allowed to play two scrimmages, or you are playing two scrimmages. The first was here in Charlottesville on September 21st against Liberty. This weekend, you play Saturday at East Carolina, which is always has a quality team and in a great environment. What did you learn from the Liberty scrimmage?
Well, I learned that we've got to continue to work and get better. That we had only been in fall baseball about a week, and so our pitchers had been out there one time live and all that. So, you know, I like the depth and the quality of the depth of our position players. I think we have some really, really good options there, some good athletes. I like what we're doing on the mound, although some guys are shut down for this fall. I like the way those guys are looking. So it was early in our process in the fall, so hopefully when we go to East Carolina this weekend, that now that we've got another 10 days or so under our belt, we'll be a little bit sharper, a little bit better.
The big news this week out of the program was the announcement of the latest class of Hall of Fame inductees. 7 players, former players, 5 of whom you coached. What's it been like to see the Hall of Fame get rolling the way it has the past couple of years?
Well, it's been exciting, Jeff. You know, this is the second year of it. Last year, the inaugural year, we inducted 15 players, and this year's going to be 7. And, you know, what will happen as you go from year to year, it'll be a smaller number, you know, just because we've had over 100-year history in our baseball program, and it's new that you're inducting larger classes to kind of catch up a little bit, and that those classes will start to shrink as we push forward. But it's been great. I called all 7 of the inductees. I called all 15 or 14 of the 15 last year, and informed them of the their selection. And it's been exciting to hear them on the phone. You know, they're really, really, truly honored and feel. They understand the magnitude of it, and you know, it causes them to give a little bit of reflection on their time here on grounds, which is really important. So I think we've started something that, you know, the players and the fans really, really value, and this class is another outstanding class. Certainly, you know, 5 of them, as you know, as you mentioned, had played for this coaching staff, and then 2 prior, Tim Burcham and Mel Roach, who both had outstanding careers themselves. So pretty excited.
So the big news last spring was the opening of Dish Room Park, or the renovation of, and fans who came out saw all the, you know, wonderful renovations. But the work continued during the season and then after the season. So what's new at the ballpark, maybe for you, that the fans may not see on it every time they're out there?
Well, you know what, Jeff, certainly that the majority of it was done before the season, and then things continued on throughout the entire season and then throughout the summer, and even still today, they're still painting some things and tightening some bolts and whatnot, doing the punch list, and, you know, that'll probably go on for a few more months. And so our coach's office complex is done. We moved in there about 4 weeks ago, which is really, really nice because, Jeff, this is the first time since I've been the coach here for 15 years that we've actually had our entire staff together. You know, the previous 7 years we've been in the luxury suites, and then we've also have staff members that haven't been there that have been down in the bottom part of the stadium. And, you know, what this allows us to do is it allows us just to walk down the hall and have a conversation with about a player or with regards to recruiting, and it's really how it should be the most efficient and productive as possible. So that's been exciting. And then the thing that's already started this fall is the expansion down the third baseline that we all knew that was going to happen, that the permanent seats were going to be put down the third baseline, and then there's going to be a slight altercation of the grass hill that's down the left field line. It's going to actually be a lot better for the fans. It's not going to be as steep. It'll still be a grass hill, but there will be a kind of a different level to it to allow the fans to maybe enjoy it a little bit more. They'd like to sit down on that grass hill.
When you came here from Notre Dame, Davenport Field had undergone a major renovation, you know, the year before or shortly before. You never coached in the old park, but you heard some of the horror stories about those facilities. There are a couple very big initiatives in the works here with the new master plan for the precinct here, and then the new softball stadium going up near you. The reality is in college athletics, the facilities are important, and I think you know how handcuffed Joanna's been with the softball program with her current situation.
Yeah, well, I'll say this, Jeff. Every sport, every school has their own story, right? Just the timelines are a little bit different. I think we go back and look at the great power baseball program of LSU historically, it wasn't too long ago that LSU didn't have the facilities that they have now, you know. And so every sport has their thing. And so ours started 17 years ago where there was a decision made by some individuals that, hey, we were really going to step up the facility with regards to baseball. And now that decision's made with regards to softball, and they're on the way of getting what they need to be successful from a facility standpoint. I'm really excited for the ladies in the softball program and Joanne. They deserve it, and that's going to be a first-class facility that they'll be playing in the year after the next year. And then certainly overall with the master plan of what's being done here in athletics, it's sending a message to everybody involved with Virginia athletics, all the fans, and really the country, that the University of Virginia is very, very serious about continuing to hold our position nationally of where we're at as an athletic department, and quite frankly, even from that, pushing that forward and even moving up the ladder.
Last season was the first one since you've been here that the team did not advance to the NCAAs.
Right.
Is that something tangible that really drives the returning players and the coaches in the offseason, or is that overstated?
I think anybody would be misleading you if they didn't say that sticks in your side and bothers you a little bit, especially if you have experienced, you know, the NCAA tournament for 14 years in a row. But I also think it's important to have a realistic big picture of everything and say, you know, geez, there's only, you know, you can count them on one hand, the amount of programs that have been to the NCAA regional 14 of the last 15 years. So certainly we've kept it in perspective, but we've also really talked a lot with our guys, Jeff, about, you know, what were the different pieces that didn't allow us to be a tournament team last year, and where can we get better and improve? If we don't evaluate, you know, and then put a plan together to get better and improve, then we're doing these young men a disservice.
One of the storylines last season was the absence of several key players due to injuries. Cam Simmons, who had been a dynamite hitter for him, would have been in the middle of the lineup, you know, missed the season. Chesden Harrington, a pitcher. How have those guys looked? I know I talked to Chesden in the summer, and it was a slow, kind of taking it cautiously with him and little by little, but it seemed like Cam was in a good place.
Yeah, we appear to be in a good place. You know, Chesden Harrington's doing a nice job. He'll pitch this Saturday down at East Carolina. I thought he pitched well against Liberty. So that's coming along well, and certainly he's a major influence on our team. And we need to keep him healthy and get him out on the mound, and that'll certainly be a shot in the arm for us. Cam Simmons is doing great. You know, he's been off the game of baseball about 9 months, so you know the instincts will continue to come along. The more at bats he gets, the more live times he gets. But certainly he's a great athlete, and I'm excited to see where he's going to be at in the spring. I think he'll be a real big difference maker for us.
Noah Murdock came back last season after having Tommy John surgery, ended up pitching five appearances for you. Where is he, though? I mean, I don't think he looked like he had at his best. You know, he was still kind of working his way back. What do you expect from Noah?
Well, you know, I expect him by the time the spring rolls around to be back at the form that we felt that he would be at in his junior year. You know, last year at the end of the year, the doctors and everybody that was involved, you know, with his rehab, it all pointed towards and told us that we needed to put him on the mound live in game situation. That said, you know, he was just 12 months or so out of surgery, and so we're expecting too much that at the end of the year last year he was going to be in great form. And quite frankly, even this fall, I mean, he's still learning. He's still not that far out from, you know, what he experienced. Now, I expect by the time the spring rolls around that he will have been through those thresholds and things like that he needed to get through, and he'll look really, really good this spring.
I think I ask you this question every year, and I get the same answer, but I'll try again. Any idea who your closer is going to be?
Yeah, I don't. I'm going to continue. We can just hit rewind. I know you're looking for that inside scoop. And it's always, with any college baseball team, it's certainly a a hot topic, an important topic. And the reason I know that you ask every year, Jeff, is because we've been really, really good in this area and winning one-run games and all of baseball, especially in college baseball, is so important. And, you know, so we'll continue to evaluate it. And I think that'll have a lot to do with who our starters are as well.
Some of your players, you hold out, you shut down for the summer. Most of them, though, kind of scatter around the country or this part of the country and play summer ball. Any especially noteworthy performances of guys this summer that kind of jumped out at you?
Well, I think there were a lot of them, and I'm sure I'm going to forget a few of them here. But you know, I think certainly Tanner Morris, being an all first team All Cape Cod League player, he had a nice summer offensively. Alex Tappan had a great summer. He broke the record in the Cal Ripken League this summer for the most doubles in a summer, and did a nice job. I think Cayman Richardson looked like he had a nice summer in the Northwoods League. And there were just a number of players that I felt that, you know, really took advantage of the summer and had productive summers. Cam Comer had a nice summer, you know, catching, and as well did other players as well. So, you know, certainly, you know, that was an important piece and part of their development. What we also did too, Jeff, is we actually had a couple of three incoming first years that actually went out and played in collegiate summer leagues. We haven't historically done this, and we did it with Zach Geloff, Jimmy Sullivan, Nick Kent. Mm-hmm. All three of those players, position players, went out and played in collegiate summer leagues, which I feel was beneficial for them.
Are all incoming recruits eligible to do that, or do you need to be a certain age?
Well, they are eligible. The challenge is most of those summer league teams don't allow high school players to play in them, so you got to find the right summer leagues for that to happen. And you know, typically it's not going to happen with a pitcher because they pitched a lot in the spring and you want to shut them down in the summer. But we have done it, and we'll continue to do it a little bit with our position players.
Any other of your first year guys, or any of them, make a real positive impression so far? I know it's early October, so you're not that deep into it.
I think there's a lot of them, and you know, I'd hate to. We have 16 new players, and there's so many of them that I think are going to make contributions and are exciting players out there. You know, I'll just say as a group, I think there's a group of first-year pitchers' arms that we've got some guys with some really good arms, and I think they have the ability to make contributions right out of the gate. And then position player-wise, this is one of the more athletic and versatile group of young position players that we've brought here. And so there's guys that can play all kinds of different infield positions. We have a player that can catch, can play the infield, can play the outfield. So we really made a conscious effort from a position player standpoint to get the best athletes we could get, but also guys that have versatility.
One of your newcomers is a pitcher from New Jersey, Billy Price.
Right.
For UVA fans who have not seen the article on him, it's worth tracking down. It was published back in May up in New Jersey, where he's from, talking about his battle with cancer and how he has overcome that. How is Billy doing so far?
Billy's doing great.
And can he pitch this year, or is he going to need more time?
No, he's pitching this fall. And, Billy's doing terrific. First of all, he's got a great personality, and he's a pleasure to be around, and I'm so happy he's here. He's a talented, big, left-handed pitcher that has a really good changeup that I think is going to continue to progress in our program. Certainly, you know, in the article it talks about, you know, what he went through and the struggles that he's had, but it doesn't It surprised me at all that he's in the position he's in now. He's got great perseverance. He had a really, really positive attitude about it from the start, and a terrific family, obviously a Virginia family with a lot of connections here. And I'm happy Billy's in our uniform, and I'm excited to see him get out there and pitch.
Before I let you go, we would be remiss if we didn't mention the big news for the voice of Virginia baseball, Channing Poole. This is the last podcast I will record while Channing is a bachelor.
Oh.
He's getting married this weekend, so we wish him well. I know he's been with you for a good part of this journey at Virginia.
He has. You know, I think a lot of Channing. I think he's very, very talented. And you know, I'm so happy that he's remained with Virginia baseball and continued to broadcast our games. I wish him and his fiance well. That's a big step, and one that I know that he's really, really excited about. And you know, he's been a key component to our baseball program, and I want to wish them certainly the best of wishes. Unfortunately, we can't be there.
Yeah, you're going to be in Greenville, North Carolina.
You know, he didn't think very well scheduling his wedding.
Well, that's Channing for you.
So. You go.
Anyway, well, good luck. Safe travels down to Greenville. Good luck with that. We'll see it at Dish Room Park for the World Series.
Thanks, John.
To keep up on social media, on Twitter with Coach O'Connor's program, you can follow at UVA Baseball and at UVA Coach O'Connor, no apostrophe in there. For information on our other teams, visit virginiasports.com. The football team is off this weekend, but it has a huge game against Miami next Saturday night at Scott Stadium. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening.